So let's turn in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be in verse 9 tonight. And verse 9 says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I looked over a bunch of different things and stuff, but the Lord impressed on me to speak on God's name. And so I got to doing some research on God's name. And there's a lot about God's name. And there's a lot of names in the Bible that was used for God. And I only picked out, I think I got about 9 or 10. So we'll see if we can get through 9 or 10 of them. But there's a bunch of names. But hallowed be thy name. To hallow a thing is to make it holy or to set it apart. To be exalted. To hallow the name of God is to regard him with complete devotion and loving admiration. God's name is the utmost importance. Therefore, we ought to reserve it a position of great significance in our minds and our hearts. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So what is the name of the Lord? And like I said, I just got about 9 or 10 here. And I'm probably going to mispronounce some of these Hebrew words, so y'all just bear with this old uneducated man. So the first one is El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty or All-Sufficient One. This occurs 7 times in the Old Testament. You can see it in Genesis 17:1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." Also in Isaiah, I like this, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, I got this highlighted in my Bible, you know, Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure." Now, if you got much anything better than that, you just go ahead and roll it on out. Because that's pretty big right there. Number two, El Elyon, and this is the Most High God, and this occurs 28 times in the Old Testament. Psalm 57:2 says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Psalm 78:35 says, "And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God and their redeemer." You think about that. You get to call on the Most High God. You get to call on your redeemer. I don't have to go before nobody else. I can go to the Most High God. All I got to do is humble myself and pray. So right now we've got Lord God Almighty, and we've got the Most High God. The Most High God is my Redeemer, and He is my Savior. He's, you know, David said He's rescued me from a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Not only is He my Redeemer, He gives me a path. He established my going. He rescued me. So He is my Redeemer. Number three, which is Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Now, it occurs 6,519 times in the Old Testament. And it's used more than any other name of God, which is me. It's Lord, Master, denoting the omnipotence of God. And the name of God, which by Jewish tradition is too holy to voice, and it's actually spelled YHWH without vowels. So the translation of Yahweh is, which simply means four letters, is the Hebrew translation. So we've added vowels to make it to where we can say it. So it's really just YHWH. And if you look in Exodus, it starts, I just picked out a few verses because, like I said, there's 6,000 you could choose, or, you know, it was mentioned 6,000 times. So Exodus 3, verse 1 through 7, and it is where Moses goes to the burning bush, and it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is in holy ground. Also, Exodus 33 and 17. Says, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in the sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So Moses wasn't even able to see the face of God. The Lord says, For there shall no man see me and live. So the Hebrew wouldn't even say the name of the Lord. They just put into four letters. So that's how holy our God is. The man that we talk to, the man that we get to call upon to hear our prayer, is so holy and so great that no man can look upon his face and live. Number four, it's Jehovah Nisus. And the translation here is, The Lord is my banner. And it occurs one time in the Old Testament. And Exodus 17:15 says, And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisus. This is what God is to us. God is a banner and an encouragement and a focal point. You know, Daddy called me, him and Mama and Geraldine and Judy Ward went to Florida and their car broke down. And Daddy called me and said, Hey, my car's broke down. I said, Well, I'll come pick you up. He's like, No, you don't have to come. But I went, so I headed out one Thursday evening and got down there. And when I got down there, I ate supper and went to bed, and we left the next morning. And Judy Ward said, before we go, before we get home, I want to stop at Bucky's. And it got to thinking. So I was like, okay. So we started up whatever interstate it is. And have you ever seen the billboard that says Bucky's, 200 miles? And then you'll see another that says Bucky's, 150 miles. And then it says, you know, it keeps on till exit 409A. You'll have the Lord is my banner. You think about, we need to put a billboard on us. The Lord is our banner. So many times, you know, the little kids sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I was doing concrete one morning. We had about a 1:30 morning pour. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we was in a big precast school. And all I could hear was this one gentleman singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. And, you know, the Lord was his banner. You know, how often do we not show our banner? You know, we've got to proclaim the name of God because, I mean, look how great he is. You know, not only is he my banner, he's the Lord God Almighty. He's the Most High God. And so I ought to make him a banner in my life. So make sure when we pray that we remember God is our banner. Also, the Jehovah Ra. And the translation of this is, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah translated is the existing one, and an extended translation of this word is friend or companion. This indicates the intimacy God desires between himself and his people. So where you can find this is in Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, you think about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in thy presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Also turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and I will gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost and bring again which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which is sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Pretty good shepherd right there, ain't he?
I was done a study on, I mean, you can spend a whole, I mean, my grandmother wrote a book on Psalms 23. I got to studying a little bit about a shepherd and what a shepherd in old times would do. The shepherd, the sheep knew him by his smell. You could put all the sheep together in town. They'd go in town a lot of times, and they would put all the sheep in the same corral. And when the shepherd come, the only sheep that would go with that shepherd is that was his sheep. He knew them by name, and they knew him by the smell. Not only did the shepherd, he would walk in the field before the sheep and make sure they wouldn't know holes, and he would make sure that they wouldn't know bad grasses and stuff that would kill his sheep. He would go in and search out the pasture and make sure, because, you know, sheep didn't like still, you know, they had to have running water. They had to, that's a lot of, you can do a lot of study on the shepherd. I mean, it's a huge study about just like putting oil on their head. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. He goes before us and looks out and makes sure we're not going to get in trouble if we go this way. You know, he seeks out his flock. You know, he said he leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. He, not only will he do that, he will lay, he said, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains shall their fold be there, shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture, shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Not only does he make sure it's good for me, he makes sure that it's a blessed pasture, that it's a fat pasture, that I'm going to be okay in there. So he's a shepherd, and a shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me by name. He knows the hair that is upon my head. He seeketh out his flock. You think about there. He says, I stand at the door and knocketh, and any man will open the door. He searches out everybody. Jehovah Rapha. And this is the Lord who heals. You can find this used in Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, For I will restore the health unto thee. And I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they have called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Psalm 103:3 says, Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Revelation 21:4 says, And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. So I got to thinking about the Lord who heals. And in my experience, I tell you a little bit what I've seen. I remember, I think one of the first times that I remember, like we all coming together on a Tuesday night, was when Linda Mintz called about Judy Ward. You know, Judy Ward had a real bad breathing problem and coughing. She couldn't come to church. And we met one night. And it wasn't too much longer. Judy Ward was able to start coming back to church. She'd carry her little scarf. It was too cold, she wouldn't come. But she started coming back to church. I remember Geraldine. Geraldine was in the hospital, and they didn't give her a whole lot of hope. She had some pretty bad disease in her, you know, but it wasn't too long. Geraldine was able to come home and lived another, I mean, that's been 10, 12 years ago. sound betting field. He's another example of Jesus, the Lord who heals. 1/4 of July is playing the piano. Picked up, had a heart attack. Had what, one or two after that? The Lord who heals. My son. I remember when he was diagnosed. And then I remember when my wife called and says, hey, he's in remission. My wife, a couple years ago, she had a kidney disease. And she'd went septic. 3 or 4 days later, she got to come home. Jake Bishop. Before Jake was born, they said, you need to abort Jake. Jake ain't going to be able to make it. Jake ain't going to be able to function. And I don't know if y'all have ever got a hug from Jake Bishop. It's the best hug I've ever got. Miss Annabelle had a pretty rough stint not long ago. Haley, I was sitting at Ingles pumping gas. Daddy called me and said, son, Haley's got cancer. You need to meet. We met and then the church met. Went too long. She went back to the doctor. I said, everything's going to be okay. Norman had cancer, lung cancer. We prayed for Norman. Norman got better. Danny Mabin. We met up at Danny's house one night. A bunch of guys went up there and we met at Danny's house. Danny's going to have a liver transplant, some stuff. Oh, Danny, you're doing better, ain't you, Danny? Jeremiah 30:17 says, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called then outcasts, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Psalms 103:3 says, for he giveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So my Lord is a healer. He's my shepherd. He's my banner. He's the Most High God. The seventh name I've got is Jehovah Shammah. And that's probably not how you say it. But the translation is, the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35 says, it was round about the 18th, 18,000 measures, and the name of the Lord, and the name of the city, that the date shall be, the Lord is there. Psalm 139. Look at Psalm 139. I think this is probably one of the best examples of the Lord is there. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, and is too high, I cannot attain.
whether I shall go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderful made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He's there. You know, I got to thinking about, it don't matter where I'm at. He said, if I'm in heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. You know, I got to thinking about the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son left. And I think every evening, the father of the prodigal son sat on that porch and looked for his son to come home. I think every evening, I think, you know, well, I wonder what old Joe's going to do tonight. Well, I'd say he's going to sit on the porch and wait to see if his son comes home. You know, I've always thought that. Because soon as the prodigal started coming, the father jumped up and run. You know, he knew his shadow. But I know that God is with me even when I'm laying in the pigsty. He's there. There's nothing, there's nowhere I can go that he's not there. So tomorrow, Judy, when you're riding to Morganton, God's there. And when you drop Jenny off, God's going to be there. When I lay down, God's going to be there. When I wake up, God's going to be there. He's there. That's just it. He's there. You can't go nowhere that God's not. He's always there. He's everywhere. Wherever Ed goes, God's there. You know, you can run, but you can't. It's old like Gun Davis said, you know, the hounds of, and he's talking about Psalm 23, the hounds of heaven, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of thy life. There's nothing you can do to get away from him. He's always there. And ain't that a blessing that somebody who loves you that much is there? You don't have to go find him because he's already there. You don't even have to turn. He's already there. Isaiah 49, 16 says, I have graven thee in my hand, that thy face is continually before me. I'm always there. I'm always on the forefront of his mind. He's there. The simple thing that you can say is, he's just there. The next one is Jehovah Jireh. And it says, the Lord will provide. You find this first in Genesis 22, verses 7 through 14. And it's where Abram is taking his son to be sacrificed. So Genesis 22, verses 7 says, and Isaac spake unto Abram, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went, both of them, and together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in the order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For thou, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me.
And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Matthew 6, where we kind of started. I got this in my Bible. Cheryl Moore preached on this. If you read Matthew 6:25 through the end, through 34, I put it in my Bible. I listed it as travel light. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body, what that you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? So you finish reading that. But I have seen the provision of the Lord. I've heard my daddy tell his story to pretty much every construction worker that I've ever worked on the job with him. I was just a little boy. I don't remember a whole lot. But I've seen the way the Lord provides, because I've never went without. You know, Dad and Mom had three kids, and Dad lost his job. Well, he broke his back. And, you know, he was out of wasn't bringing nothing in. And through the grace of God that he instilled upon people to give them something, which in turn give me something, the Lord will provide. I've not only seen it in that experience, but I've seen it in my own. You know, Dawson went to the doctor, and in two visits, I was about $30,000 in debt. And within a couple months, I had people call them and say, hey, I'll pay for a shot. Another church said, I'll pay for a shot. And then through the goodness of God, I was able to get that took care of. I've seen it in my business life, mine and Chad's business, the way the Lord provides. I heard a story this week while I was studying for this. It said there's this little old lady that didn't have no food, and she was praying, Lord, please send me some food. Lord, please send me some food. Well, she heard this knock on the door, and she opened the door, and there's this big pile of food. And she said, he did it, he did it, he did it. And there's this atheist jumped out behind the bushes and said, no, I bought this food. And you know what she said? He did it, he did it, he did it. The Lord will provide. You think about the widow woman and Elijah. The Lord will provide. There's nothing that he won't provide. And then the last one is Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. And it occurs over 285 times in the Old Testament. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven and the things of earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the Lord of hosts. So when we pray, sometimes it's good to remember who we pray to. You know, this is just the 10 that I picked out. There's a few more that you can research and look for yourself. But I found a lot of comfort in knowing that the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God, the Lord Jehovah, The Lord is my banner, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord who heals. And the Lord is there, and the Lord will provide, and the Lord of hosts. And that is just the beginning of the model prayer. So when we get to speak to God, we need to hallow His name. To hallow a thing is to make it holy, or to set it apart, to be exalted. To hallow the name of God is to regard Him with complete devotion and loving admiration. God's name is the most utmost importance. Therefore, we ought to reserve it a position of great significance in our mind and in our hearts.